WWE.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime, Eric Young.
I'm Sonny DiMorello.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Can't you see them now, John? Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice. With your host,
sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. And joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, Sir Rockin.
I am here, and apparently this is as bad as a musical known as Grease.
What is wrong with Lady Gaga's Bad Romance?
Apparently Kane.
Kane Kittens, go listen to a remix by Hailstorm. It's awesome. Like, they do it way better than she does. they actually do it as a rock song, and it's awesome.
Nice, 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 nice.
But, yes, you're listening to The Rag, where we're already off on a tangent. And, of course, well, you know, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have news. We have notes. We are going to make our sponsor, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211, very happy, because we're going to be talking all about the figure news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con this Thursday night. That's right, the con hasn't even kicked off yet, and we have figure news, so Matt should be very happy about that.
He's been busy tweeting all day about it. It's kind of epic.
I'm sure he has.
That's where I got most of the stuff, by the way, at WWE TNA Figs. At WWE TNA Figures on the Twitters.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt. You're awesome. We're also going to be talking about tonight's exciting NXT, including Charlotte versus Summer Rae for the NXT Women's Championship. We're going to get all into that. And, of course, we have to give our review and the results of Battleground from this past Sunday. But before we get into all of that, you know, we have our question of the night.
And our question of the night is simple. What did you like about Battleground? So we'll answer that question later in the program.
Yes. Yes, we will, as we're talking about Battleground. But now we're going to jump right into news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news and notes needs. And aside from the San Diego Comic-Con stuff, which we will get into later, a little bit later in the news, I should say, we've got to talk about some of the biggest news coming out this week, which is Fozzy's new album dropped.
I think she has this whole night build up, and oh hey, look, it's Fozzy. They have a new album. Yes, Fozzy has a brand new album out. What's it called?
Do You Want to Start a War? Kind of fitting for who Chris Jericho's feuding with.
I didn't
right
even
now.
Know the name of the album. That's kind of really is kind of fitting.
I put it in the run sheet.
I'm not looking at it at the moment. I was trying to search for the news that I know that's going to be breaking as we're doing the show. So, anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, there's probably going to be breaking news at some point in these 2 hours.
See, he complains at me for not, you know, paying attention to the detailed notes he puts in the show. What do? As I'm prepping the show, you know, go through, find the album, put it in there so we have it, and he's not even looking at the sheet.
Well, it's currently at number 35 as of press yesterday.
Yes, as of press yesterday, it had broken the top 100. It's currently sitting at number 35, I believe, on the iTunes charts. So congratulations to Chris Jericho and the other members of Fozzy on their success. I hope it continues to climb, and I hope they make lots of money off of it.
Chris Jericho was very happy he was doing media on Tuesday. He got to, his album and Weird Al's album dropped on the same day, so they're doing media together at different places.
Oh my god, we need to get Chris Jericho and Weird Al together.
They took a picture together.
Yes!
So that was kind of awesome. So yeah, he's a brand new album. He's out doing promotion in LA. Everyone, all the big news sites were like, oh my god, he missed Raw. But if you actually watch Raw, he was there in some form.
Via satellite.
Unlike the WWE champion, but...
Yeah, unlike John Cena, who was not there at all, at least Chris Jericho was there in a backstage segment, so... Bravo. Speaking of breaking lists and topping records, I don't know. Anyway, Forbes released their top grossing Hollywood actors list for this year, and well, Robert Downey Jr. managed to unseat The Rock from number one... The Rock fell to number two as, well, Iron Man himself topped The Great One with, I think, $75 million earned this year. That's not too shabby.
That's not too shabby at all. And, well, I think The Rock's about to earn some big, big gold dollars here with this little movie he's doing.
Yeah, with the release of Hercules, we'll have to see how The Rock does. But, yes, it seems he got topped by Iron Man, which, you know, if you're going to get overtaken by somebody, Robert Downey Jr. is the person you want.
Yeah, The Rock had his big success last year. He was the highest grossing movie star in the planet, making $1.3 billion, as films did. I think he's okay with being second Iron Man.
Yeah, I think he's okay with it.
I'm just going to say that, but still, The Rock's number two. Think about that. He's number two on the list.
In the world.
In the world.
On Forbes list, yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Just a little bit. I mean, it's no Iron Man, but it's just good. You know.
Yeah, well.
What can you do?
And kind of continuing on the Hollywood trek, the Hollywood Reporter announced that WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus has been cast in a new Canadian action film called Gridlocked, which is also going to be starring Danny Glover.
That's an interesting combination, Trish Stratus and Danny Glover.
It is. We'll have to keep our eye out for it and, you know, watch for more details to appear to find out kind of what the film's going to be, because it sounds interesting.
She's, yeah. What was the name of the movie? Gridlock, right?
Gridlock,
yeah. She I believe, is playing Gina in the movie?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a picture up on her Facebook page, or Twitter rather, at Trish Stratus, I think it is. Or at TrishStratus.com, I believe it is on Twitter, and she's Trish Stratus on Facebook. So there's a picture up there of it right now, which is kind of cool. She's in the news, that's awesome.
It's pretty awesome. Glad to see that she's, you know, doing stuff and gonna be in another movie. Maybe we should book her for an interview.
You know, maybe. I mean, she was nominated for an award last time around, so...
She was. I mean, you know... And I think I saw her names on her little list when she threw it out on the Hall of Fame, but, you know, I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, they look really, really close.
Yeah, we were in the fine print, but we were there! Just kidding.
By just looking at the picture, she's going to look like a badass in this film.
Well, she looks like a badass anyway. But
oh, I know this, but I'm just pointing that one out. She's Trish Stratus. She is a badass.
So, go Trish. Go Trish. Anyway, moving on from that, we were talking about people earlier missing Monday Night Raw in addition to Chris Jericho and John Cena being absent. Sheamus was also absent as he missed TV because he had the flu.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal, especially a little cold. You wrestle, you know, the wrestlers do a lot, but missing TV because they had him, because when Main Event came around, he was scheduled. Because on Monday they announced it was going to be Sheamus versus Rusev on Main Event, which they ended up doing Swagger versus Rusev on Main Event instead, which was another good match, but we'll get into that later. So it's like, oh, where's Sheamus? And it's like, oh, he missed it with the flu, and that's a big deal. So hopefully he gets better soon.
Yeah, he must have gotten really sick.
Because he worked Battleground, and he probably was not feeling good at the work Battleground to miss scheduled TV Monday and Tuesday. We'll see if he works the house shows this weekend. But I would assume he gets them off just because the flu can knock you down for days.
Yeah, and getting it in the summer is never fun. It sucks whenever you get the flu, but especially getting it in warm weather. Ugh.
Well, it sucks in the winter, too, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, to have to deal with it in the summer, I had a summer cold these past couple weeks. Yeah, it sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah, it does. But you pulled through.
I pulled through. Did a show through it, too.
A few shows.
A few shows, yes, with it.
She's one tough cookie.
I am. I'm dedicated to my craft.
Yes, yes, she is.
Just kidding.
No, you're not.
Speaking of dedication to their craft, because that's the only transition I got, it came out that Jim Ross has finished up officially with WWE. That's right, his final contract with the company expired, I believe, either yesterday or today.
Today.
And that ends a 21-year run with the company. And, well, JR, you know, he's kind of been a little misty-eyed, but I don't think he's minced words either.
No. Triple H went out on Twitter and said, thanks for being the voice of our attitude. No, hashtag no one better. JR's been done for about a year with WWE. We have a tweet from him later in Tweet of the Week, which comes up in the middle of the program. If you're just tuning in for the very first time, this is The Rack. She's Lindsay Ward. I am Sir Rock, and we are live on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com.
We are.
So, but it's kind of sad to see JR officially done, and it's like, all means there's no more comeback for Jim Ross, but he's okay. He has a deal with Fox Sports. He did a boxing fight a couple months ago. He writes for them. He does his one-man shows, which are going to be returning in 2015. And the rumor has it the next one he does is going to be with Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I think JR's okay, and I think he's writing a book and his little show he does, and, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, there was no question JR was going to be fine. It's just, it's kind of sad to see the way he went out, because I think there was a witch hunt in the way that he went out, and somebody had to be the scapegoat, and they picked JR, unfortunately. And I've never really liked the way that that all went down, but that's just my personal opinion. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, there were some issues last year at SummerSlam, of all places, where Ric Flair got a little drunk. He hijacked the 2K14 panel, and JR had a hard time controlling it. And so, because of that, WWE was upset due to the negative press, and so they basically fired, in quotations, JR under the table. But
basically, let it came to agreement, hey, you're done with us, but we'll keep paying you till your contract runs out.
Yeah, you know, he was fired in every sense of the word, except for the fact that his contract was not terminated, and then his contract was allowed to expire. So, you know, and I never agreed with that, because it was something of, it's honestly, JR is not Ric Flair's babysitter. Was he the host? Yes. Did he try to control it? He did. He honestly did, but there's only so much he can do. And it's like, if you have Flair there and he's drinking, especially since he's drinking, what, only a few months after his son had passed away?
Yeah, that was a bad... Ric Flair was in a bad way when he was out there, so it's not surprising.
You kind of have to look at the people who were saying, oh yeah, this is going to be a good idea to put Ric Flair out there in the first place, so...
Yeah, and when you don't have... when you have more enemies than you have allies, some of those things go... Yeah. Don't go in your favor, and that's what happened with Jim Ross, because I believe it was Michelle Wilson who sort of was the most upset about what happened.
Yeah. So, it's unfortunate the way that all went down, but JR is going to be fine. He's still going to be around. And if he does do a one-man show with Steve Austin, I want to be there. Because that will be epic.
I believe it's going to be at probably in San Fran for WrestleMania weekend.
That'll be cool.
That's going to be kind of cool to see. Because Austin showed up for the one at this year's WrestleMania unannounced. But now, the two of them together, officially...
Oh, God, the stories. Just imagine the stories.
It's going to be a good old time between the two of them. Coming up at probably next year's WrestleMania.
Probably, yeah. We also should just, kind of go ahead and go on note transitioning out of that. Prince Devitt did officially sign. We've reported this for a couple times now, but it is now official. Prince Devitt has signed. With WWE, he's on his way to NXT, but there is no timetable in terms of when he's going to start, and obviously when he will show up on the main roster. I would imagine he's not going to be on the main roster for at least a year.
Most likely a year, yeah.
If not more. Because, they got to get him.
They got to turn him into a WWE superstar.
They do, yes. Jake Roberts also had a big announcement. He came out and said officially that he is 100% cancer-free. Yay!
Which is awesome. Good going, Jake. Thank you.
Which is fantastic. Congratulations to him.
Great job on beating cancer. Well done.
Standing ovation.
There you go.
Well done, Jake. We're so proud of you. And we're going to be talking about this in a few minutes, but we wrote it down anyway. Mattel is slated to have a big Slam City display at Comic-Con this year. We're going to get into all that because I've seen pictures of it. Rock's seen pictures of it. I have a funny little anecdote to tell on the show once we get there. But yeah, so Mattel is going to be having a big display, or they do actually currently have a big display, not just for Slam City, but everything.
Oh, yeah, everything.
Yeah, we're going to talk all about it here in a few minutes at Comic-Con. But before we get there, we're going to kind of transition out of WWE for a second and into TNA, because we do have some TNA news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And big news coming out of TNA is that, they were able to re-sign Samuel Shaw, Sonata, and Brooke Tessmacher to new contracts, so well done.
Well done. It's good. I'm glad they signed Sonata because he has a little bit of potential. Brooke is always good, and now she gets to stick around with her boyfriend, Robbie E. Samuel Shaw continues to be Samuel Shaw for another couple of years, so good on that. And if you want more Impact coverage, check out the website wildtalkradio.com tomorrow afternoon, as you'll get the wins and fails from this tonight's episode of Impact.
Yes. And lastly, TNA Hardcore Justice has been announced. It will be airing on August 5th, or it's taping on August 5th.
It's good. They're going to be taping it on August 5th in New York City.
Ew.
So the first day of taping in New York City, and then go around, I think it's the first day, will be Hardcore Justice. It's either the first or second day. Go to ImpactWrestling.com for more. But yeah, Hardcore Justice is going to be cool. They have Destination X coming up on the 31st, so if you do the math, probably the end of August, we will see Hardcore Justice.
Hey. Two thumbs up. You can't see it, but two thumbs up. So, now we're going to transition back to WWE, because now we're going to talk about the other big news, which is, of course, the figure news coming out of Comic-Con. But before we get there, WWE has announced what's going to happen with SummerSlam. Because as we told you, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago now, they are not doing Access at SummerSlam this year. They're doing it something a little bit different. Which is kind of cool, and it would actually be cool to go to. They're doing panels.
Yeah, they are doing some panels at the access like they've done in the past. They've done some panels, like at the Royal Rumble, I believe they did a few panels. But yeah, WWE's doing some panels at the Club Nokia in Los Angeles from Friday, August 15th to Sunday, August 17th. As part of SummerSlam weekend, you can go to AXS.com for tickets. They go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific. The panels you get to see, well, the first one includes Hulk Hogan on Friday night at 7 p.m. The WWE Hall of Famer and pop culture icon will talk about his legendary career in and out of the ring, as well as his recent return to WWE. On Saturday, there's a couple of panels for you. The first one is the WWE 2K15 roster reveal, hosted by none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin, which will feature Hulk Hogan, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Sheamus, and Cesaro. And that's on Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific, which probably means they will stream that one live, I would assume, because that's what they usually do, as we will get the... Yeah. Roster reveal for the video game, and there'll be retrospective WWE careers they'll be speaking about, as well the panels will reveal the official roster for the game on October 28th, that's when it'll be available. DX will be in town that night at 7 p.m. Triple H and Shawn Michaels, one of the most popular and controversial groups in WWE history, will address their rebellious exploits and discuss their lasting legacy. You get Shawn and Hunter together? Yeah.
That's going to be a good time.
And to wrap it all up, on Sunday at noon, WWE Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin will discuss his monumental rise to become one of the biggest stars in WWE history. Each panel will feature a two-hour discussion and Q&A with fans in attendance. VIP experiences will follow. Tickets prices per panel are $50 for lower balcony, $100 for floor seating, which includes an exclusive SummerSlam panel collectible pre-signed poster and $200 for a VIP experience, which includes priority floor seating and professional photo with a selected panel superstar and an exclusive SummerSlam panels collectible pre-signed poster. Go to SummerSlam.com for more information.
Whew. That's a lot.
I need a drink after that one.
Yeah, take a drink after that one. I'm going to talk for a minute. So... there's that. Yay. Now we're going to be talking all about, you know, because if that wasn't enough, WWE at Comic-Con, because, oh my god, they have a presence this year. It seems to get bigger. Every single year, Brock just sent me a picture of Kane with the Twisted Twins as they are doing a See No Evil 2 panel.
Which will probably, that's the breaking news we'll probably have at some point of when See No Evil 2 will be released.
Yes, so because it is, I believe, going into theaters.
I'm not sure about that one. I think it's right to DVD, I think. I think they were trying
They've been pushing for it to go into theaters, so we'll see if it's actually going to be released in theaters or if it's going to DVD.
So we'll find out soon, because it's happening right now.
It is happening right now, so go, Kane, go.
But yeah, WWE has a big presence at Comic-Con. The Mattel has every action figure known to man around, and there's a lot of new figures. But before we get into the figures, because there's a lot to cover, I told Lindsay last night there was a panel happening. It was going to feature Paul Heyman, Daniel Bryan, and Hulk Hogan. We thought, that's kind of cool.
Right?
Well, for those in attendance, got a little bit of surprise.
A surprise?
They did. As making his first appearance for WWE at a WWE event. He's not signed with WWE, just pointing that out. This was done by Mattel. The one and only Sting showed up, full face paint, in gear, leather trench coat. He came out to the delight of the crowd at the panel and sat in for a bit. That's kind of awesome.
That is kind of awesome, yeah. That was pretty cool to see. You had a Hogan Sting, you know, reuniting. Daniel Bryan was kind of beside himself with glee. And Paul Heyman was like, what the hell are you doing here?
Right, because no one expected it, because what they just did was, because this was the first action figure we'll talk about, the first ever Sting action figure from Mattel has been released, or is going to be released. So that's kind of awesome.
That is kind of awesome, yeah.
So you had everyone looking at the screen as they reveal this Sting one, and no one's looking around, and then you just hear this slow roar. It's like, oh, it's Sting! He's actually here!
He's coming.
So, but yeah, so he's one of the ones that are coming around. And there's a lot of new action figures coming out. The ones they were showing off were like the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal. They both came with the spikes. We had a Lex Luger made in the USA version with weights. You had a Brock Lesnar Eat, Sleep, Conquer, Repeat shirt.
There's even a Brock Lesnar with the thing that says Eat, Sleep, Conquer the Streak.
I wasn't going to mention that.
Might as well bring it up.
I if you could tell, I didn't put it in the notes.
Yes, I know you didn't put it in the notes, but we're going to bring it up just to put it out there. They did a special dedication to Brock Lesnar breaking the streak. Because, you know, I can't get away from it.
There's a brand new version of Batista in the line with a full detailed back tattoo.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that one. That one's actually really nice. They did a good job on the tattoos.
Not only do we get a full detailed back tattoo, there's also a blue Batista version of Batista.
Because, you know, Mattel totally has a sense of humor and it's awesome.
It is. I saw that. I was like, wow, they really are on point. So this blue Batista does exist. WWE.com, there's a picture of it. You have The Rock in there. Ryback. The Rock comes with a guitar. There's many versions of The Rock, but we'll get to that. You have Usos with the black tights and a shirt. You have Dean Ambrose with the U.S. title and a Shield dog chain, and he's all like, I'll lay back.
That one's really nice. I've seen that one. It's really nice.
You have a new version of Kane in there.
You have several different new versions of Kane. You have Kane Mask, and I believe two versions of Corporate Kane as well.
One with the suit top, and one just with the pants and no shirt.
I kind of want Kane in the suit. I really do. I'm not going to lie. I saw it. I'm like, it's Kane in the suit. I kind of want it.
You have, it looks good. The head looks really good on it.
Yeah, they did a nice job on the modeling.
Vader with a mask and the Mastodon head. A Dolph Ziggler. There's a few versions of John Cena. The new modern neon green stuff he wears. There's a Eva Marie figure.
Oh, we'll have to get King Kitten's one and send him one.
Yeah, we should get her. See if we can get her to autograph it for him. I think he'll love it.
He can, you know, put it up in his shrine, because, you know, right next to New Christian, I think it's also coming out.
Yeah. So we have, there's
two
also...
T-O-O? What? No. See, it's not T-O-O, it's T-W-O, dude. Grammar. You speak in the English good, yeah?
We'll get to WWE Trend. Well, Catwoman wants to know about WWE Transform. We'll talk about that after we're done with the action figures. Brought to you by Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 and follow it on Twitter at WWE TNA Figures. We got a Van Damme. We got a Mark Henry that's bald. So, and we have a Randy Orton with a beard. You got a nice Big E, a Seth Rollins, a really nice Goldust.
Mm-hmm.
Sin Cara, Del Rio, Ghetto said, Luke Harper is in there. He has the bandana on his wrist.
Yeah, the Harper also comes with a, one of the shirts. I believe it's a red plaid, and then he comes with a lantern.
Which is
so
nice.
Luke has the lantern, which means I'm gonna have to buy Luke to get the lantern for my Bray.
Well, we'll get to Bray in a minute.
We'll get to Bray in a minute, because I'm not sure what Bray comes with.
Eric Rowan has a mask.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because they did a really, really, really nice job on the sheet mask.
They did.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't seen the individual Rowan and Harper figures, are really nice. The Rowan especially, they did a very good job on him, and he even comes with a little sheet mask that fits his face. He can wear it. It looks really, really nice. I have to say, in going through all the Mattel stuff, they did a really nice job.
Oh, they're
on all the figures.
They're really nicely done.
These are some of the best wrestling figures I think I've ever seen.
There's a Daniel Bryan with a Fear the Beard shirt, and there's also a Daniel Bryan in a jumpsuit. Yeah, they made him a jumpsuit.
I may have to get that. If I can find it. If they release it, I may have to get that.
You have a Sheamus with a t-shirt, a John Cena with a neon the neon t-shirt. There's an exclusive Walmart AJ with a pink t-shirt. You have The Undertaker with the WrestleMania 30 look. The Rock has a Just Bring It shirt. You have John Cena with the WrestleMania hat and chair. Daniel Bryan has two title belts, and Bray Wyatt has the dark gray hat and the lantern from WrestleMania 30, along with
his gear.
His gear from WrestleMania 30. There's actually writing on the shirt, and he has the red pants.
Yeah, they actually got the writing right and the red pants, and he has a lantern and the black hat. I mean, one thing you have to say about these figures is they're really on point, and they're probably the closest to WWE storylines in terms of their manufacturing that we've seen so far. I mean, normally the figures are usually out of date by the time they're released, but Mattel is doing a really nice job of keeping current with the characters, with the storylines, what they look like. They're staying on top of that. So when these figures are coming out, they're still relevant to what the characters are doing and what they look like, which is pretty cool.
Which it is. And most of these figures will probably be out at the end of this year, early next year, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. There's an El Torito.
There is an El Torito. It's a little itty-bitty figure. It's kind of adorable.
There's a new version of Mankind. You have R-Truth with white pants. Xavier Woods gets one. And I mentioned Daniel Bryan with the white gear. Now we get into some of the interesting packs that they're coming together. First, you have Jake Roberts and Dean Ambrose as a battle pack.
You know he geeked out.
Because the snake comes with the battle pack.
Yeah, the snake comes with the battle pack.
Now, those are ones that they have produced, and they're going to be on their way out in the next few months. You then have upcoming figures that they're making for the very first time. You have Cesaro with the Andre the Giant trophy. Roman Reigns with a little updated gear and the tag title belt. Like I mentioned, Batista before. He comes with that. Also, there's a version with a hat and a jacket. And glasses. Then you have battle packs. The Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels from the 1990s against The Undertaker and with long hair.
Ooh, nice.
Big Show versus Andre the Giant. You have John Cena in the Ultimate Warrior. Ultimate Warrior is in the USA colors, red, white, and blue. Usos in red tights with crutches is a battle pack. You have Triple H and Daniel Bryan. Triple H is in a suit. Daniel Bryan gets the handcuffs.
Which is nice.
You have the New Age Outlaws. Billy Gunn has the blue tights. Road Dogg has the brand new New Age Outlaw shirt with microphones. And here are some first timers coming up. Alright? Adam Rose. Sami Zayn. Rusev. Lana. And Mr. McCheese, Bo Dallas.
Dude, I'm going to have to get Bo. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to have to get a Bo Dallas figure. There's just no rhyme or reason behind that other than it's a Bo Dallas figure, and I guarantee you that thing is going to be every bit as cheesy as he is.
They have just the model of it, not colored or anything, but you just see the cheesy grin on his face. It's kind of awesome.
Oh, you know he stood there with that stupid grin on his face when they took the pictures. You know he did.
Oh, I know. Also, first time in the line, Razor Ramon with purple tights from WrestleMania. Get a Doink the Clown Elite version with Bucket. You get Hulk Hogan and the old WWF Championship. Will be a Royal Rumble pack, first time ever for Hulk Hogan in the Mattel line. You have X-Pac and with the DX shirt and the European Championship, Junkyard Dog with a dog collar and chain, and as we mentioned, Sting is in the line. It's a lot of toys, a lot of cool action figures. Ringside Collectibles has a lot of pictures. WWE.com has a bunch of pictures. Matt put up a bunch of pictures at WWE Teenage Figures on the Twitters. So if you want to go check them out, you can. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it is pretty cool stuff. I mean, and one of the things you have to like is I think this is one of the biggest action figure lines they've ever had. Or at least the most diverse figure line that they've ever had. Because this is the most female figures I think I've ever seen them put out, which is really cool. Because you can get, like, AJ, and you can get Natty, and you can get even Eva Marie if you want her. You know, it's something of, it's that's really neat to see. And there, it's like everybody is getting an action figure.
Oh, yeah. Which is awesome.
Which is cool. And they're not, like, crappy action figures. Like, that's the other thing. Like, you know, you could always tell who the top stars were because they always got the nice action figures. And then as, you know, your standing in the company goes down, you know, the crappier your action figure looks until, you know, it looks like shit. So it's nice to see that even the lowest people in the company are still getting really good figures. And you can tell Mattel is putting a lot of time and effort and money into these figures to make them look good.
Oh, yeah. They really are.
And they have a wonderful attention to detail that I just love.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. Some great, it's some great figures, and they're looking better and better as these go. And we've seen the evolution, we'll use Bray Wyatt as the example, from just a basic figure now to the Elite and now to the new set. He's improved. They improve as the series goes.
Yeah, and it's because you can tell what the first orders are, and then you can tell, okay, well, you know, this person's going to be around, so let's do it again. And they take multiple scans of these people. They don't just do one. It's multiple scans with their faces in different positions, so that way they have multiple faces to use. It's like Harper's new figure has a different face, and you can tell that when they did the scan, his hair was pulled back in the scan because he's a lot less fluffy in the new figure than he is in his current one, which is with Eric Rowan. Rowan's didn't change much.
Well, there's not much. He hasn't changed much.
Yeah, Eric hasn't changed much, but, you know, it's. And then there's, of course, again, Bray. Bray's hair seems to get flatter, and his beard gets fluffier. So I don't know if it's just he keeps teasing it out when they do the scans or what. But yeah, it's you can definitely see the evolution of all the new figures. So if you're a little disappointed with the initial figure, just wait for the next version. Because the next version will probably be better.
Right.
But while Catwoman brought it up, and we're going to do our final news story of the evening. Yes, I know it's quite a lot of news, and we're sorry, but... Well, we have to talk about the mystery that was WWE Transformed.
So, what was WWE Transformed?
Well, it was a... I don't even know how to describe it beyond. It was a series of drawings done by a set of artists for WWE in which they took certain WWE characters and transformed them, in quotations, into brand new characters with new gear. And everything like that. And some of them were really good, and some of them were really odd, and some of them were just kind of, what?
Alright, so break it down for people. What? Run through some of the people on there.
You had Sheamus, who kind of looked like he did when he was in this King Sheamus gimmick, except way more badass. There was Kane, there was Triple H, there was Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston... we had an Amish Paradise version of Bray Wyatt, and there's somebody else.
The Bella Twins were in there, I believe.
The Bella Twins were in there. I think that's it.
But yeah, I want to go talk about Bray Wyatt for a second. He looked like a freaking Amish man. Jesus.
Although I will say this. When Rock showed me the picture of WWE Transformed, he was like, "It's like, what do you think it is?" And it just showed the little half-eaten world. I'm like, whatever it is, it's Bray Wyatt. It's Bray Wyatt. It's
yeah.
Got something to do with him.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it came out, and there's the little half-eaten world medal on Bray Wyatt. I'm like, called it.
She did call it.
That's not the only thing I called right. Just pointing that out, and we'll get to the other thing later in the show. because I am the only person that called that one. Didn't get it completely right, but I called it.
You did call it.
And I got cursed out Sunday night for it, which was awesome.
She did, because we were watching the show together on the phone.
Yeah, because I was venting about my moving experience, which is oh so much fun. But yeah, so it's if you haven't seen it, it's on WWE.com right now. They're kind of done in the style of Archer.
Yeah.
And I think it was the two guys that actually do Archer.
I believe. I'm not going to say for
sure.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, it is on WWE.com right now. Definitely go check it out. It's really pretty cool stuff to see their reimagining of the WWE characters. All the illustrations were done by Paul Answorth.
There you go.
Just to give him credit, just so that way we have his name. But yeah, they did Triple H. They did Kane. And Brock Lesnar was amongst them. Forgot about Brock. Cena, Bray, Sheamus, Kofi, Dolph, the Bellas, and Santino Morella. Forget Santino.
The awesome Santino Morella.
The awesome Santino Morella, who we got to interview before he retired. Go check that out.
It's available at Rock Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com, so just check the archives.
Bam. Yeah, so just check the archives. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's exciting NXT, including Charlotte versus Summer Rae, and, well, is Charlotte still the NXT Women's Champion? You're going to have to tune in to find out. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Amish like me, you know I shun fancy things like electricity. At 4:30 in the morning, I'm milking cows. Jebediah feeds the chickens and Jacob plows. Fool, and I've been milking and plowing so long that even Ezekiel thinks that my mind is gone. I'm a man of the land, I'm into discipline. Got a Bible in my hand and a beard on my chin. But if I finish all of my chores and you finish thine, then tonight we're gonna party like it's 1699. We've been spending most our lives living in an Amish paradise. I churn butter once or twice, living in an Amish paradise. It's hard work and sacrifice, living in an Amish paradise.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply, Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches to crossing highways to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. Sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night, about midnight. Sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time, just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Once in a while, we here at Wild Talk Radio Network are asked to fill in the blank.
Motherfucker! What the heck? Oh, God, this game is just reaming me tonight. Okay, folks. If you could fuck anyone in the world, who would you choose? The Pretty Pretty Princess dress-up board game, Your Virgin Soul, Mr. Clean right behind you, or Fuck You, I'm Spider-Man. You know what? Someone had it right in the title, Fuck You, I'm Spider-Man.
So, you would fuck Spider-Man?
Well, it's not going to be Mr. Clean right behind me, even though that would probably be how it worked.
Who leaves the shrine without streaking, without rinsing?
It's so convincing.
Is it wet? Is it dry?
You know the answer, you know the guy.
Mr. Clean's the man.
Oh, come on, that little plastic head you're supposed to comb the hair on in that game is so hot.
Behold the fair Princess Gwendolyn. Of course, I wasn't always as glamorous. You see, a long time ago in a kingdom far away, I was playing this game called Pretty Pretty Princess. It was my turn, and I got the royal earrings, the necklace, the ring, then I got the crown, and poos! Here I am, Pretty Pretty Princess Gwendolyn, and the ruler of the entire universe.
Pretty Pretty Princess, the jewelry dress-up game from Golden.
Dude, we need to clip that. Can we please clip that? That needs to go into a commercial somewhere.
Oh, God. We do not need that as a commercial.
Yes, we do.
Oh.
Which means tomorrow night on WTR.
Okay.
Aren't you happy you found us?
Yes, I thank the Lord every day for all of this.
Join us for Cards Against Humanity when the clock strikes evil right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bit of, and a little bit of, god, every time I hear this song now, all I can think of Austin Land is the very end of it. Anyway, welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's right, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your action figure needs. I'm Lindsay, he's Rock. If you're just joining us, you missed our lengthy news segment where, of course, we went over all the news of the week, including WWE's presence at Comic-Con, so if you're interested in hearing about all that, definitely go back and check that out.
Because it got hot up in here.
Yo. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you during that news segment. So I was sitting there watching the video that you'd sent me of all the figures so we could see them.
Yes.
And, like, my mom saw the Slam City setup, including Mark Henry in the penguin suit. And she's like, she looked at me and she's like, is that a penguin? I'm like, yes. Yes, it is. What are you watching? WWE action figure stuff, Mom. Oh.
Gotcha.
Why is he in a penguin suit? It's difficult to explain.
It really is. Oh, the one thing we forgot to mention. when Ringside Collectibles showed us the preview night, there's a video on their YouTube channel. One of them had a cat face on them.
Yeah.
Vladimir Kozlov, I think it was, had a cat face on it.
Somebody is clearly having fun.
A little bit.
But speaking of having fun, now we're going to jump into tonight's exciting NXT, where we saw a women's title match. We saw Prince Pretty himself in person, always fun, and he definitely made an impact. And, of course, Lana and Rusev in action. But before we get to Lana and Rusev, the show kicks off. We have Renee Young on commentary, which, you know, of course, always gives me light.
Oh, I have some notes about her throughout the show.
You do?
I do.
Okay. We also have her joined by Alex Riley and Rich Brennan. And the show kicked off with match number one of Connor and Victor taking on Johnny Vandal and Aaron Solo. And I just want to say something, okay? I realize this is
hold a on, decent... Hold on, hold on. You actually had names for these people? They didn't even give them names on TV.
I think these are the names the recapper gave them.
I'm just saying. On TV, they called them two local guys. Anyway, continue.
Anyway. I just realized how stupid the Ascension must look when doing their entrance, because if you think about it, they have to, like, be bent over, and then they slowly stand up as the camera kind of pans down.
Yeah.
So think about it, they're like, they walk out probably in the darkness, and then the entrance kicks up, and then they're like just standing there bowed over, and then they slowly stand up.
Pretty much, yeah, that's what they do. That's exactly what they do.
I had an epiphany while watching it tonight. I was like, oh my god, they just look so stupid in person.
You know what looks so stupid in person? Watching them have a squash match again.
Yeah, I'm a little overseeing Connor and Victor in a squash match. I'm with you there. I mean, they look solid, they look good, but I want to see them against a real tag team.
I've seen it before. I've seen them squash people 100 times since NXT's debuted on WWE Network. I want to see something different. I want to see them feud with actual teams. I want to see them fight actual teams. And when they actually get in there with actual teams, it's kind of, oh, hey, that's kind of awesome. They actually do some stuff. But lately, it's like, oh, hey, after we beat a team, it's called, oh, hey, we're going back to being squash guys. So that's what they did. They played around with them a little bit, threw them around. The one guy in the blue, when it was, like, trapped on the outside and had to get run in, and he tried to slap Connor, and it had no effect. And just basically, the two local guys got dominated as the Ascension played around with them. And so it's like, okay, whatever. I've seen it, been there, done that. I want to see something new from the Ascension. I know they're on the rise in WWE and NXT. It's like, but I gotta see more before they rise because they haven't done enough to go, oh, hey, they're must see.
Yeah, it's something, and because their tag team is tricky, and it's like I really do want to see them more. Like, I'd love to see them go against teams like the Usos again. I'd like to see them go against the Wyatts. Goldust and Stardust would be an interesting mix. Just really go against some teams that are especially real actual tag teams. Not to say that the Ascension aren't, but a lot of the tag teams in NXT right now are kind of pieced together. You really don't have a full-on division.
No, it's a growing division, and I'm kind of sad about what happened later, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Ascension won with Fall of Man. It was short, sweet, to the point. They got on TV. They're looking dominant. But I've seen it before. I don't want to see it again. Please, no more squash matches. They want competition. Give them some competition. That's my rant for NXT.
Yeah, I like the Ascension. I like their look. I want to see them against real competition to see how they actually do. Because it's hard to get a feel.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's why I want to see more of them fighting real people. So we know, oh hey, when they come up to the main roster, they can actually go. They look like they can go, but we need to see that they can go. If that makes any sense to anyone out there.
Yeah. So WWE, if you're listening for whatever reason, get on that. Just, you know.
Saying.
Anyway, moving on from this, we go to Tyler Breeze taking on Mojo Rawley. That's right, everybody. Prince Pretty is in the building. Tyler seems to be having a little bit of a malfunction in the fact that his beautiful hand has been messed up in a hand modeling accident. So it's all bandaged up. He can't even take a selfie properly. It's a complete travesty. Someone get the man some ice, because good God, he probably needs it. He's in excruciating pain.
Renee Young had the inside scoop, though.
Did she now?
She said it was a hangnail, possibly.
Possibly.
Possibly. He was complaining a lot about his bad finger. But those hand modeling injuries, those injuries to the hand, they could kill a career just like that.
Just like that, you know. And we certainly don't want that to happen to Tyler Breeze, so gotta look out for it. Gotta take care, dude. So this was a really, really quick one. Basically, they check and make sure his finger is okay. He says something to Rawley. Rawley runs Breeze into the corner. Then Rawley talks a little smack to the referee, and Breeze then hits Rawley with the beauty shot to get the 3 count.
Out of nowhere, like an RKO, but just better.
Just better.
More impactful and better. Like the beauty shot. Perfect. Bam. It did its job. It got Tyler Breeze on TV. It means that at any time, anywhere, boom, something can happen. And that's what happens with Tyler Breeze. He can hit the beauty shot at any point and win. And that's why he's a threat as the number one contender for the NXT Championship.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So, there you go. Solid stuff. Again, see, that's one guy that's okay in a squash match because we haven't seen it in a while.
Absolutely. But up next, we get the match of the night, at least to me, because this was a fantastic match. You have Summer Rae taking on Charlotte for the NXT Women's title.
Before we get into the match itself, here's another Renee Young note. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and according to Renee, Summer is wearing bacon pants.
Fair enough.
That was the note she dropped on us before the match started. I like Renee Young. She adds a little something extra.
She's quirky.
She is quirky, and it adds a little extra dynamic to the announce team. And what's the guy's name? Rich something or other?
Rich Benson, I think.
Whatever his name is, he had some trouble tonight. He couldn't figure out who was who in some matches, and couldn't understand. And we'll get to that here in a minute. So this was a girl fight in the beginning. Like a legit one.
They went for it, man. They just went for it.
They jaw-jacked. They shoved. Charlotte slapped Summer and then mocked her dancing. And then they had the good old-fashioned cat fight, as Joey Styles would say. Which is kind of, it was kind of fun. Nice start to the match. It's like, here's some realism for everybody.
Right?
They dove at each other, pulling each other down by the hair. This would allow Charlotte to finally take control of the match. She put on in the figure four headlock and just held it in there for, I don't know, for a while. They went to commercial, was still locked in. Summer was screaming about her face. Summer then begged off, took control, pulled down the rope. Charlotte went to the outside. And this is where Summer took control of the match. And she stomped her in the corner and said, "I made you, Charlotte," which Rich thought she said hate. Which is like, no, she said made, if you actually listen properly. Some were stretching her in robes, locked in the leg scissors, both woman trade slaps. Summer took more control, worked over the leg of Charlotte, had a half crab at one point. As she was pulling at the face of Charlotte in the half crab, Charlotte bit her hand. Charlotte powered out. Summer rolled her up for a two count. Summer dove right into the mat, drove her right into the mat for a two count. The fans started doing the wave. Please don't do the wave. That's disrespectful. Double clothesline. Both women went down. Charlotte fights back. Took control with a big clothesline for a two count. And eventually hit the bow down to the queen for the victory. Charlotte retains the NXT Women's Championship in a really good contest. It was a physical match between the two girls. I liked it.
Oh, it was great. I mean, like I said, this was easily match of the night. These two have great chemistry. They did very well together. I would love to see more between these two.
I'm with you. You could see that both have improved.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little awkward with one of them trying to lead the match, but they did enough where it was an exciting match for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do a lot where it's like, okay, we have to do 100 moves. They kept it simple with some of the spots that, with the leg lock and the figure four headlock. So they kept them grounded, take some time, work on the match, tell the story.
Right.
Which was good. It was a nice change of pace. And well done by the girls.
Absolutely. So, bravo. Looking forward to seeing more, should say.
Yes. So Charlotte's still your champion.
And, well, wonder who's going to get to face her next.
Could it be Alexa Bliss?
Could be. Because we got a little promo for Alexa Bliss, and then we got your match number four of the evening, Simon Gotch and Aiden English, that's right, the VOD villains, make an appearance where they take on Kalisto and his mystery partner, who turned out to be none other than Sin Cara.
I heard the comment, who chooses Sin Cara as their partner? Not many people.
This is what happens when you get rid of Camacho.
This is exactly what happens when you get rid of Camacho. Huna goes left alone to Sin Cara. So, yeah.
This was a solid match. It was just kind of...
This was a decent match. Kalisto started out with English. English overpowered him a little bit. Kalisto, though, at one point tried to take him over on a headlock takeover. Took him three times. Had to use the ropes to, like, spring off and get him down finally. Sin Cara finally got into the match. He took a bunch of shots to English, including a springboard cross body. Sin Cara came on the ropes a second time and needed a drop kick for only a one count, which is interesting. Gotch, when he came in, he just hammered over Sin Cara with hard uppercuts, and big hard body shots right to Sin Cara. Gotch went for a power move and got rolled up for a two count. English got tagged in. He went for an uppercut. They had a nice uppercut neckbreaker combo for a two count. Sin Cara showed off some strength as he hit a power pick. He did a roll up, and then he picked up the guy and English picked him up for the power bomb, which was nice by Sin Cara. That was a nice move. Kalisto comes in, got a hot tag, hit a springboard kick on the Gotch. Sin Cara dove to the outside on English, setting up the finish. Kalisto hits his flipping backwards neckbreaker for the victory. Sadly, Kalisto and Sin Cara beat the VOD villains. Damn it. Kind of upset about that one. Big fan of the VOD villains.
Love the VOD villains. It's kind of sad to see them lose, but it's like the second Sin Cara came out, it's like, crap, they're going to lose.
Yeah, it's like, damn it. Damn it, Sin Cara. Damn it.
Yeah, so... Decent match, not the best, not the worst, but good match all the same.
Yes, it was. It was a solid match, solid out between the two teams, and I don't think they're done. I would assume the VOD villains will be looking for revenge.
Here's hoping. Crossing fingers that it goes better. Please. Pretty please.
pretty please.
Anyway, we're back and we have match number 5, the main event of the evening, where we see Miss Lana strut her stuff on out.
Woo!
And she has something to say before the match. She says that you worship actors, athletes, and politicians in the United States, but stars fade. In Russia, we have heroes. In America, your president is a star, while her president, Vladimir Putin, is a hero of Russia and the whole world. And the man in the ring is just a star. Like all the stars before you, you will burn out, and you will fall to the greatest hero.
Go ahead.
We then have Rusev come out, and he takes the mic. This is my criticism. Before we get even into the match, just let Lana do Rusev's intro. Just let her do it. Stop. No offense to Eden or even Justin Roberts, but just let Lana do it. She makes it sound so much better.
She does. She does.
Because, you know, it's like Eden and Justin Roberts cannot literally be fucked sometimes. It's just like, and now coming to the ring, the recipient of the Gold Star Medal and the hero of the Russian Federation, Rusev.
Well,
like, can we at least call him Alexander Rusev?
No, you gotta. He's only Rusev. Like that took it. Honestly, that took some away some of it. Like, you hear Alexander Rusev, that's a powerful name.
Mm-hmm.
Like Alexander the Great, Alexander Rusev.
Yeah, it's like just. Don't make him have one name. When number one, give him his first name back, and number two, just let Lana do his intros. Because when Lana did the intros, it was so much better.
Well,
because
she was very proud of her man.
She is very proud of her man. She is.
For more reasons than anyway.
Anyway. But yeah, that's just my only criticism, is I wish they would let Lana do the intros again, because it was so much better when she did them, but it is what it is. So then we move on to Adrian Neville taking on Rusev with Lana.
Rusev was very powerful in this matchup, hitting Neville with hard blows and kicks, and tripped him in the corner a little bit with his foot. He had him tied up in the corner and gave him a hard kick right to the back, which, like went. Ow. Neville made a try to make a mount a comeback, but he got tossed in the corner and nails him with an elbow and boot each time Rusev charged. Then Neville fought back with kicks and a low drop kick. Rusev catches one kick from Neville and picked him up and by the throat and eventually dropped him, which was kind of awkward. A little bit of an awkwardness where he just sort of fell. Rusev continued to charge in the corners. Neville moved, missile drop kick. Lana had an upset. She got up on the apron and started screaming at the referee. And that's when Prince Pretty himself, Tyler Breeze, showed up, distracted Neville. Rusev came from behind and attacked him. Rusev went for a follow-up slam. Neville escaped. Neville then went to the top rope. With Rusev down, Tyler Breeze comes back, shoves Breeze off the top rope for the disqualification. So, the winner of the match, Adrian Neville, by disqualification, but he did not look like a winner tonight, as Rusev kicked him right in the head afterwards and then locked in the accolade after the match, where, before I said Lana upset, Lana happy, as Rusev crushed Neville after the match.
You know, really, this was the best way to end this match, honestly, because it's like, you can't have Neville lose, because you have to keep Neville looking strong, but you can't have Rusev lose, especially down in NXT, to Neville, because then that makes Rusev look really weak, especially after he just beat Big E and Jack Swagger. So, yeah, what do you do? What do you do? Oh, you do a no finish, basically, or you do a DQ, where Tyler Breeze comes out and screws Neville over, giving Rusev the victory over the champion. And then you have Rusev kill Neville afterwards.
And that worked. It worked. It got everything they needed to happen. And now that Mr. Neville is weak, could Prince Pretty be cashing in his title shot?
Maybe. Don't they have a big event coming up in September?
They do have an event probably coming up in September, but I think beforehand we may be seeing Prince Pretty cash in. Just call it a hunch.
I guess we'll have to see. But on that note, that wraps up NXT for at least this week.
It was a good show. I liked the women's match. Sad about the Nevada Villains losing. It was a solid show. Not as good as last week, but we got to see all three champions in action tonight, which was you don't rarely get to see on NXT, so that was kind of cool.
That was kind of cool. Obviously, the women's match was the star of tonight, which I'm totally okay with.
I was surprised that wasn't the exact main event, but with the way that it ended, I'm not.
Yeah. It was a little disappointing that it went kind of early, but at the same time, they got a lot of time, which is fine.
They were the featured contest of the show.
Yeah, they were obviously the featured match, but they were not the main event, which, given the way that they ended the show, it makes complete sense why they weren't.
Correct.
So, solid show. Not too bad. Not too good, but, you know, kind of in the middle.
Have to see
where they go next week.
It should be fun. They're building the stuff, so this was a good show. We now see some sort of direction for some characters. So they're building the stuff, which is always good. So, there you go.
So on that note, I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be giving you Tweet of the Week. We've got our question of the night, which is, what was your favorite moment from Battleground? And, well, we're going to be talking about Battleground itself, and we've got a lot to get into with that.
We do, and Rise of the Horn?
Maybe. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! It's Jason the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down here to Dustin Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Wild Talk Radio, this is New York Times bestselling author Brian Shields.
The greatest professional athlete in the world today, look at this! He's having a goal! I don't believe it!
And my new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, is coming out September 15th.
The spectacle that is WrestleMania. This is it.
Pre-order it now wherever books are sold.
Here we go! Once in a lifetime!
The evolution of online sports entertainment. WrestleTalk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
I'm Santino Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion of all the time.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's right, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your action figure needs. I'm Lindsay, he's Rock. If you're just joining us, you missed our review of NXT and, of course, our news segment at the beginning of the show, so definitely go check that out if you're just joining. It'll be in the archives probably sometime later this week, but now we're going to jump right into one of our favorite segments, which is Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alright, so I have two.
I have 40. Okay.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you always have a lot. So, Renee Young. Okay, maybe I was out of line. I just assumed that Triple H would want to check in with Stephanie McMahon. My bad. And I just want an everything bagel from Tim Hortons. Someone send me a care package. Godspeed.
Well, it's interesting that you start with Renee Young. I'm starting with Renee Young.
Oh, really?
She goes, me. How do you feel about Tampa from 1 to 10? And she's tweeting this to @NJSamps. The person goes, I'm still at a 0. It's a stucco jungle. Seth Rollins replied, punks. PUNXXX. Renee Young replied, listen, Iowa. Seth Rollins replied, no, you listen, Canada. Tampa rules. Oh, the back and forth by people on Twitter. It's tremendous. We have more of that to come.
Oh, God.
WWE Games tweeted, join us at SummerSlam weekend for WWE 2K15 roster reveal hosted by Stone Cold Steve Austin. Jim Ross replied to this, am I invited? I know how to celebrate.
Go for it, JR. Go for it. Crash the party.
Keep it 5-star tweeted. Oh, look. It's the quitter. The WWE Universe looks around for CM Punk. No, no, guys. I'm talking about Brie. Stephanie McMahon. Scott Fishman. Meet Rosa, Eva Marie, Cameron, and Alicia. The WWE Spice Girls.
No.
So these are the following are for hashtag worst moon landing quotes. Goes as follows. Does my ass look big from up here? Man, the sun is not what I expected. Is my thong showing? One small step for man, one giant leap towards Uranus. The next set are for bad Jeopardy categories. People still on MySpace. Things that give me the runs. Drugs Charlie Sheen has done. Batman sidekicks who should wear long pants. Excuses by Lindsay Lohan. Drugs Lindsay Lohan hasn't taken. Whitney and Bobby, good decisions. Ouch. Who said it? Shaq or Barkley? This is for hashtag Comic Con bands. The Walking Dead Kennedys. Kid in cosplay. That's actually creative. This one's from Ziegler. Harry Potter and the Family Stone. This one's another one from Dolph Ziegler. Kiss. Obi-Wan Direction. Dr. Hootie and the Blowfish. Panic at the Everything. Those for that. WWE Creative Humor. WWE Creative-ish. After 21 years of being whipped like a government mule at JR's BBQ has been released back into the wild. By God! Hashtag kayfabe. So, this is a conversation between Jim Cornette and Dave Scherer of PW Insider. Jim Cornette goes, So a goof on a half-assed site, I couldn't mention the site, upset because I enjoyed reminding people what an idiot VR is. Can't a guy enjoy a hobby? VR being Vince Russo. Hashtag buys VR shit. Dave Scherer replied, it is probably the guy Russo gave a writing job on his website. Gave a writing job to on his website. No conflict of interest there. Jim Cornette replied, wouldn't you know who won the pony pays people to say good shit about him and has to kayfabe who he works for? Dave Scherer replied, quoting Vince Russo. VR, I am out of the wrestling business months ago, except he was working for TNA. Hashtag has no concept of the truth. Which Jim Cornette replied, you're wrong, Dave. He told the truth. Working for TNA means you are out of the wrestling business.
Oh.
And then finally, Dave Scherer replied, it really is hilarious. Here's the deal, Vince. We will hire you, but you can't tell anyone. Okay? Sure, Dixie. And that was basically the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth on that.
I thought they hired him and they kept it secret because they had the deal with AAA at the time. And
Spike TV's not a big fan of Vince Russo either.
Yeah, so they kind of kept it a secret so that way they wouldn't piss anybody off. And, well, oops.
Oopsie. As we mentioned last week, he sent an email to the wrong Mike. He meant to send it to Mike Tenay and then to Mike Johnson instead.
Not good, Vince. Not good.
Now, before Lindsay, because, you know, we've been teasing it all night. Before getting to Battleground, because we're going to get to that in a second. Been teasing it all night. Should we return the horn to its proper place and bring it back to the show?
Well, I guess he's been good. So I guess he can have it back.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, for the first time in, I don't know, 6-7 weeks, maybe? It is the return of the horn.
File not found.
Oops. What's up?
Wait, try that again. I don't think you hit the right thing.
File not found.
I'm clicking the right file, and it's telling me file not found. Darn.
Well, you know, you could play the other horn.
No, I'm not going to play any other horns.
Not even the fail horn?
No, I'm not going to play the fail horn, because, well, you don't deserve the fail horn.
But I want the fail horn.
Oh, you want the fail horn. Alright, you're going to have to give me a second to actually find the fail horn and bring that up. Let's talk amongst yourself for a second.
So, well, he says the horn is dead to him.
Really? The horn is dead to you? Because, you know, see, what he's trying to do is trying to make it not a big deal anymore because, you know, we talk, because when we tell him, don't make it a big deal, then maybe we'll bring back the horn. So he's trying to play it all cool-like, and because it was just like days ago, he was like going on Twitter, like going, oh my god, bring back the horn and stuff like that. So, since, by the way, Lindsay wants it. There's your fail horn.
Yay, fail horn. So now, now, with the fail horn, we're going to lead into Battleground.
Which is kind of fitting, too.
yeah, that's kind of the other reason I wanted it, because I know I was really looking forward to this pay-per-view. I know you were really looking forward to this pay-per-view. It had the potential to be a really, really, really good show. And, well, it just kind of fell a little flat.
It was a little flat. This was a flat show in some spots. There were a couple really good matches, which we'll get into. But there, you could tell, and the way Monday Night Raw played out, you could tell people were holding back on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll start at the beginning, the very, very, very beginning, and call it a match, if you will. It really wasn't one on the pre-show. There were two supposed matches. I called it 1.25 on WTR on Sunday. Adam Rose took on Fandango. Summer Rae and Layla were Rosebuds. Basically, they both slapped around Fandango. It was Adam Rose's birthday. He went choo-choo, and the party foul beat Fandango. Simple, quick, to the point. Nothing much to say there. Really wasn't a match. It was just sort of,
yeah.
Oh, hey, happy birthday, Adam Rose. Go out and party. That's basically what that was.
Pretty much.
The Usos did an interview, and I'm going to ask you the question that they were posing to one another. Which Uso is better looking?
They're twins.
Well, one of them thinks the other one's better looking.
They're identical twins.
I think Jimmy thinks he's better looking than Jay, or Jay thinks he's better looking than Jimmy.
They're identical twins. They're equally good looking.
Because you really can't tell them apart.
Not if they keep getting the same tattoos. There for a while, I actually could tell them apart based on their tattoos. And then, well, they started getting, like, the same tattoos, including chest tattoos. And it's like, whoa. Because I think Jay covered up the name on his chest.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't pay that close attention to their tattoos.
Or at the very least, he got the pec tattoo put around it. But yeah, that's how I could tell them apart, was the tattoos, because Jay had the one on his pec, and Jimmy didn't.
Until they both finished off the tribal tattoo.
Until they both finished off the tribal tattoo, and then it's like, god damn it, although I think Jimmy doesn't have two full sleeves, and Jay does.
They say you can tell them apart by their tattoos. Okay, you could say one's different than the other, but you still don't know whose name is what.
Yeah, it's hard to tell them apart sometimes.
It is.
Why can't they be like Nikki and Brie and get fake boobs?
All right, so which I'll ask the question. Which Uso should get the fake boobs, Jimmy or Jay?
Jimmy.
See the one married to
Naomi.
Mm-hmm. Because he was there with Cameron at the plastic surgeon's office. He was playing around with the fake boobs. It would work. God, that should happen again on Total Divas. If you've never seen that episode, that was one of the better episodes of the show.
That's one of the best episodes I think I've ever seen.
Of the series, where they went to the plastic surgeon's office for Cameron, who was trying to get looking at getting implants, and yeah, him just, like, the hesitance of him trying to. Yeah, it was tremendous.
Yeah, this is what happens when you take a man, let alone a wrestler, to the plastic surgeon's office where he gets to touch and play.
Yeah.
He didn't know what to do. He was so confused. It was adorable.
Like, he didn't want to come off, like, go over the line and have Naomi mad at him. It was tremendous. The Rack Extra returns this fall, by the way, right here on Rack Radio Show, WildTalkRadio.com.
It was so amazing.
It was. Go back and listen to the first two seasons. We have stuff up for. Go listen if you haven't heard it before. Speaking of them, they won't be the Funkadactyls on the show, or at least part of the show, because, well, they're no longer a team, and they had a match on the pre-show. So we have Cameron versus Naomi.
Okay. I just want to rant on this.
Go right ahead.
Because it's not even the match. It's what the hell were they wearing?
I'm not particularly sure. I don't know what they did to Cameron's hair. That would look bad. I mean, the blonde wasn't doing her any favors to begin with, but going dark to blonde, it, no.
Yeah, and then it's like Naomi got the braids put in, and it was like, I swear to God, I was looking at Naomi, and I'm like, it's Jackie. It's Jackie from, like, 95 or 96, but it's Jackie.
Jacqueline.
It's exactly who she reminded me of, was Jacqueline.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, oh my God. It's just, like, eerily scary how similar they looked. And then Cameron in the schoolgirl outfit. It's like, what the hell is this? Did y'all two fall out of the Attitude Era and you didn't even know it?
Apparently. Yeah, the outfits did them no favors whatsoever.
Yeah, just wear the Funkadactyl gear. It's better. Works for ya.
And Cameron got new music, which was just okay. And Naomi keeps the Funkadactyl music, because we were trying to go down the line of who had how many people have had it. It's been like four or five people who've had that music. So Naomi's keeping it alive, rather. So we have Cameron versus Naomi. Naomi came into the ring right away, charged at Cameron. Cameron quickly got out of the ring. Cameron knocked Naomi out of the ring at one point with a running spear, but the theme of the match was Cameron was running away from Naomi for a while. Naomi went for a dropkick. Cameron hung on. Naomi went for a roll through, and laid into Cameron with a Luthes and right hands. Vintage Stone Cold Steve Austin type right there. Cameron was trying to escape again. Cameron bailed, but got caught from behind, brought back into the ring. The fans finally got behind Naomi, starting a little bit of a Naomi chant. Naomi got shoved in the ropes. Cameron rolled up Naomi and hooked the tights for the victory. Your winner, Cameron. Kind of surprising Cameron picked it up.
Kind of surprising, but kind of not. I would be interested to see if this continues. Probably not. This was it, I would bet. But yeah, I mean, I was kind of expecting a little bit more from this.
Yeah, I was expecting more, but when it got put on the pre-show, I was like, okay, they were only a few minutes. But wait, we both got that one correct after you talked me into picking Cameron. I was leading.
See?
You were good on that one. Oh, the one funny thing about it. So, because I know you missed WTR on Sunday. Tim brought up the fact that he didn't know which Funkadactyl was who, and was glad he picked Cameron to win, thinking he was picking Naomi because he didn't know couldn't tell the two apart.
Oh no.
So I was like, oh God, Tim. And now he's trying to act black as Tim Stein. So next time you see Tim, just start talking black to him. He keeps it real with his homies.
Isn't that racist? I'm just curious. Isn't that racist?
I'm not going to say a word, but if you want to keep it real with Timmy Stein, talk Homie G Funk and stuff with him. Send him messages.
Anyway, moving on.
Let's get to the main show.
To the fantastic opener of the main show.
This was an opener. Oh, we sat here watching this opener together, and this was really, really good. Once you got past the first two falls.
Yeah, this was the 2 out of 3 falls match for the WWE Tag Team titles. The Wyatt family, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, taking on the Usos.
And one of the Usos did a bad thing at the start. Knocked the mask off of Eric Rowan.
Yeah, okay. y'all in the WWE, if you can hear me, if you're in the sound of my voice, stop smacking the mask off of Eric's face. He will eat you.
And it's being held together by black electrical tape.
And string. And I'm pretty sure all of Bray Wyatt's willpower.
And probably some bubblegum.
Probably. But yeah, stop smacking the mask off of Eric's face. That's his friend. He doesn't like it when you smack his friends. Just pointing that out.
The Wyatts dominated the first fall a little bit. They took turns working over an Uso. Eventually, Harper pinned Jey Uso after a big boot. So, the winner of the first fall, the Wyatt family. And the boot came plays a big factor is because, well, he went for it again later on in the match. And, well, got rolled up for it. And that's how the Usos got the second fall. And that was an awkward roll-up a little bit. It just seemed very awkward. The first two falls seemed very, very awkward. But then we get into the third and final fall, and everything sort of started picking up from there. Rowan hit a fallaway slam to an Uso. Harper slugs it out with an Uso. Rowan tried diving at an Uso. Uso moved, hit a ring post. Harper charged with a big boot. Uso moved. Jimmy gets the tag. Jimmy flies in on Luke. Eric charged in and gets knocked out. Jimmy flies onto him. Jimmy runs the rail and takes out Luke on the outside. The Wyatts were not happy. Jimmy came back in, hit a crossbody for a two count. Jimmy Uso slams his ass into Luke's face. That is exactly how I wrote it. Jimmy slammed his ass into his face. Luke came back with a big clothesline in the corner. Jimmy Uso hit a corkscrew off the top rope onto Luke Harper, which was very nice. Luke Harper charged in with a big boot, knocking him out of the ring. Luke dove onto Jimmy Uso. Luke was going for a powerbomb, but got distracted because Eric Rowan was in trouble. So Eric Rowan was taken out, but Luke Harper came and helped out. Harper hit a sit-down powerbomb, a two-count. Then what I've deemed the turtle splash happened as Eric Rowan climbed the top rope after it got tagged in, hit the turtle splash, for a two count on the Uso. I just love the turtle splash. It's kind of awesome. Oh, by the way, before we continue, Lindsay, we have a celebrity in the chat. He missed all the figure news and how many plugs we gave him about 90 minutes ago.
Oh my god, it's Matt!
It's a Matt Goldberg sighting. We talked all about the wrestling figures. We plugged your Twitter about 10 times during it, you know.
Dude, we put you over. Like, huge.
We did. It did explode today, and that's where we got a lot of this stuff from. Anyway, getting back to the matchup on hand, if you're just tuning in like some people, we're talking about WWE Battleground at the moment.
Dude, he's busy. He's big time now. I mean, you know, come on. He gets, you know, he gets put out by Paul Heyman.
And Wade Barrett.
I mean, you know, he's big time now.
He's big time Goldberg at this point. You can check out his work at MBG1211 on YouTube for the record. So there you go. You heard a live plug. There you go. So the turtle splash happened. I still love the turtle splash. Uso kicked out.
Wait, no. How the hell did you get the new Wyatts? How did he do that?
Which new Wyatts? Oh, at the Target. Okay, is it the ones that have been out for a while?
The ones that got shown it.
Okay, it's the elite figure that you already have.
No, it's not.
Oh, he's got new Wyatts. Oh.
He's got the ones that got shown at Comic-Con, I bet.
No, the second Elite series. The ones that came out.
I have to go find another edition of Rowan and Harper. Oh, crap.
See, here's the thing. Lindsay made a big to-do. She went out and found the Wyatt family. She has Eric, Luke, and Bray.
Yeah, I do. I actually finally found... Well, I found, Bray, my first day back in Georgia. I, went out and looked for him and found him. And found Bray. And then, yeah, like, Rowan and Harper were impossible to find. It took me, like, 2 weeks to find them. And I had to go to 6 different stores. So, yeah, it's, they're really difficult to find.
Yeah.
So, he had to drive 40 minutes to get them? Yeah, okay, totally get it. But, yeah, I'm going to have to wait on Rowan and Harper.
Because she just bought Rowan and Harper.
Yeah, I just bought the basics, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, she got them, which is kind of cool that she got them. But, yeah, so. We talked all about it. You actually called them? Wow, Matt. You're dedicated, I tell you.
Well, you know, he's got to do it for the, you know,
for his web series on YouTube.
Yeah, the Elite Luke has the lantern and Eric has the mask. Yeah. I'm going to have to wait on those.
Though she really, really wants them.
I want the lantern. My brain needs a lantern.
He feels naked without it.
He does.
So, all right, Matt, since we have your attention, we'll get back to Battleground in a second, but we're busy bugging Matt because we can.
Because it's so rare that he shows up.
It's so rare that he shows up live in the chat room, which you all should do at wildtalkradio.com right now. Does the new Bray Wyatt come with a jacket? The new one, the one that they showed off at Comic-Con. Do you know if it comes with a jacket? Because Lindsay wants the jacket.
Yeah, from third. Yeah, the Mania one.
The Mania 31, yeah. She wants the jacket. She's kind of. I know a couple people actually wanted to come with a jacket.
He says it thinks it just comes with a lantern in his hand.
Lantern in his hand. Oh well. Tried to get you the try to get you the one coming with the jacket, but maybe next time I'll come with a jacket.
Dude, honestly, I have a sewing machine. If I wanted to, I could make the figure a jacket.
You could, if you really wanted to. You could. And for the record, now Lindsay's figures are now on the screen, just so you can see. She does indeed own the figures.
I don't see them on the technology. Oh, they're there. Yes, they're helping me play Cards Against Humanity there.
They're helping her play Cards Against Humanity, yeah. So there you go. So, as we'll get into continue on with the Battleground recap, I want one question for Matt Goldberg, though. What was his favorite figure that was announced at Comic-Con? What's the one figure you saw go, I need that one? Don't tell me 5, I want one. I want to know one. So as he thinks, well, we all know you wanted everything, but give us one. I'll get to your answer in a minute. So, we had the Turtle Splash, as I've said before. We had an Uso Splash. Eric kicked out. Jey Uso could not believe it. Jey goes for the splash again. Luke tries to stop him, but Rowan gets up. Eric fights with Jey on the ropes. Jimmy tags himself in, so Rowan smashed their head together and double suplexed both the Usos off the top rope. At 2 count as Jimmy Uso kicked out. The announcers were kind of confused which one is legal, but that wasn't really playing a factor in it at the end. We had a super kick by Harper to an Uso. He went for a clothesline super kick. Harper comes back with a clothesline 2 count. Uso made the save. A super kick, a double super kick, a double super kick to Rowan. Usos eventually go for a double splash. Usos pin Harper. The Usos sadly retain the titles. He still hasn't decided? Come on, man. I gave you some time. You were supposed to come up with one by the time I finish that recap. So, Usos, are you still your WWE tag
What's
team?
Wrong?
He still hasn't given me an answer yet. I gave him some time. He hasn't given me an answer yet.
Oh, he hasn't answered yet. He's working on it. He's thinking. Just keep talking.
Oh, he got a giveaway from the 7th San Diego Comic-Con. Lucky bastard. Anyway. So the Usos retain the tag team titles. Kind of sad that they got the belts still. At least I'm a little sad that they're still tag team champions. I wanted the Wyatts to become tag team champions, but Matt was sad as well. At least someone's with me, as Lindsay's having connection issues at the moment because, well, she's in Georgia now and their internet is not as good. I don't know how you can get them to SummerSlam. That's the thing. I don't think the Usos and Wyatt will collide at SummerSlam, but I'll ask the question to Lindsay. Do we see another match between the Usos and the Wyatt for the tag titles coming up? So, you know. Oh, fun. Technology is happening. It's great. So anyway, can you hear me now? I don't think she can hear me. See, her internet is going down at the moment. I think she's about to blame me for that one. So what we're going to do is going to hang up on this phone call. See, this is what we're doing. This is called live radio, everybody. Live. You're listening to The Rack live right now on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Let's see if things connect this time around with her. And maybe there's a better connection. So, you know, that sort of thing. It's live radio. What can you expect from live radio? See, I'm calling, making the phone call, and hey, maybe she can actually hear me this time. Nope. There's a problem with this call. Oh, fantastic. So what else is new, Matt? I'll talk to you in the chat room at this point, because, well, my co-host is not having good connection at the moment. His favorites are Hogan or Sting. Were you surprised, Matt, by Sting showing up at Comic-Con? Are you back yet? I'm hearing nothing. Love Daniel Bryan. What about him coming in the Wyatt gear? That was kind of awesome. So
try this again one more time.
Hey, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Oh, dude.
What?
So I'm looking at the Luke Elite.
Oh, you can actually hear me
and
now?
And the tank top is fabric, too.
Nice. Can you actually hear me now? I don't think she can. This is fun right now. This is great. We're having connection issues with the host of the show. His tank is rubber. We'll tell her when her connection stabilizes that we can actually talk and have a conversation. As you can tell, I am just rambling to keep us from having dead air. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Waiting and waiting and waiting. This is tremendous. I tell you.
Are you talking right now?
I am talking right now. Can you not hear me? Can you not hear me? Anyway, so you could tell we're having issues right now, and it's on her end because her internet.
Yay, internets! Yay!
Can you hear me now? Alright, so what we're going to do, taking a break. So what we're going to do, take a break, reestablish a full connection with Lindsay, and when we come back, we will get back into WWE Battleground. And yes, Matt Goldberg ruined the show. You're listening to The Rack live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll be right back right after this.
Them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Love game, intuition, play the cards with spades to start. And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on his heart.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G Marvin once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it!
Welcome back to The Wreck right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you couldn't tell, we are actually live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented by Wrestling Figure Website. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211. Matt Goldberg, the show killer tonight in our chat room, causing Lindsay's internet connection to go poof.
Yeah, sorry about that, y'all.
We're calling him the show killer because he killed your internet. How about that?
He did.
Damn it, Matt. Blame Matt. That's his wrestling nickname, Show Killer. Hey, credit us when you use it. Anyway, as I was trying to talk to you about, do you see the Usos getting a tag team title shot again? Or, I mean, Wyatt's getting a tag title shot against Usos down the line?
Not right now. No. I would say maybe a little bit further down the line, but I think at this point, the Wyatts are out of the tag title picture. I don't see them getting a third shot unless something else happens, but it seems like Bray is pretty fixed on having the boys with him for Jericho, so they probably are going to move the Wyatts on with Bray and have them forget about the tag titles, which is a little disappointing. I really actually wanted to see them with the tag titles, and there's nothing saying that they won't get them in the future, but I really did want to see them win.
Matt Goldberg asked the question, why does their theme change all the time? Because they don't know what to play.
Yeah, the thing is they're trying to figure out what to use for the kids, and they don't know yet. Honestly, they were having Luke come out whistling, he's got the whole world in his hands, into a mic. They would walk out into a darkened arena. That's what they need to do, because that would be creepy as hell.
Right, it really is.
It's like, even if you just have him pre-record it, and then he just kind of sort of fakes it on the mic while they're walking out, that would be really creepy.
It really would be. Plus, we need to see our grown cradle belt. Sadly, that did not happen at Battleground.
Oh my god, Eric cradling the belt like it's his child. It's adorable.
Speaking of children, in a way, Rollins has a child, and it's a gold briefcase, since he is the Money in the Bank winner, and he was doing a promo backstage, he was talking some trash, until Dean Ambrose showed up and attacked him. And well, they brawled for a while, referees and officials pulled them apart, and then Triple H threw Dean Ambrose out of the building, which means we're not getting Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose on this show.
Called it.
Yes, yes, she did.
Called it.
Yes.
Twice.
So, yeah, she did call it twice. Sadly, I have to admit that she was, you know, correct on it.
No, no, say it properly.
Hell no. I'm not stupid.
You're the producer. You could erase it.
Yeah, but it's out there somewhere. I'm not going to give you that satisfaction.
Oh, my God.
Lindsay was right. Anyway, AJ Lee and Paige were up next for the WWE Divas Championship. Like how I threw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
This was where I started to go, something just doesn't seem right. Both ladies started shaking hands to start. Paige was a big supporter of AJ throughout this entire match. Paige backed AJ into the ropes. AJ with a nice roll-up. Paige rolled her back up, so they were countering each other. Paige nailed AJ with a nice headbutt, and then started working over the neck and back of AJ. And then this is where things got awkward, as Paige tackled, speared AJ out of the ring.
Yeah, you could tell they weren't clicking right, that it felt like Paige was holding back a little bit. She was being very safe and very careful, and she's actually being overly safe, which was causing her to not perform properly, and you could see that she was having issues in the match with AJ.
Yeah, she was, including after the top rope sunset flip powerbomb, which didn't come off just right. It was a little safe and hesitant on that one. But that was a two count. But yeah, the spear itself, you could see AJ was just flailing away and trying to get out of the ring. It just didn't sort of work properly. And based on what happened on Monday, it kind of sort of plays into it. I hope that was the idea. AJ dove off the top rope. Paige caught her. AJ, though, locked in the Black Widow. Paige was able to get out of it at some point, hit the Paige Turner for a long two count. She went for the PTO. AJ escaped, hit a Shining Wizard, three count. Still your Divas champion, AJ Lee.
Yeah, you saw AJ really going for it in the match, and Paige was being very hesitant. And so it seemed like a clash of styles, but given what happened on Monday night, where you finally had Paige turn fully heel, I would suspect these two are going to go again at SummerSlam. I would fully expect a better match at SummerSlam.
I am hoping for a better match at SummerSlam.
And I think that's going to be the common theme throughout this show, is a lot of these matches are going to go on to SummerSlam. And because of that, I think the better matches will happen at SummerSlam, which is unfortunate.
It is, but again, sort of coming in expecting them to hold back, just didn't expect them to hold back as much. Just to keep up to date, we both picked the Wyatts and lost, and we both picked AJ Lee and got that one correct. Up next, Rusev, before we get to Rusev, Randy Orton was looking for Kane. Orton wanted an apology. Kane wasn't really giving one, just said, one of us is the next WWE champion, and they're standing in this basement area with red lighting. And that would be Kane.
Kane has to have his ambient lighting.
He does. He really does. So up next, Rusev with Lana taking on Jack Swagger with Zeb Coulter. Lana cut the controversial promo that everyone was talking about. Well, I should say, people picked out certain tweets and media picked up on it when not really a lot of people were complaining, but made it a big deal when it really wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, okay. Look, she just said current events. She did not in any way reference the downed airplane and the tragedy that happened in the Ukraine. You know, because here's the thing. It was either the Ukraine or it was Russia that shot it down. She's not going to point that out because her character is Russian.
Feel better now?
She's more talking about current events probably in the United States, like, you know, the fact that our president is embroiled in 47 different scandals.
You feel better?
Yes. I'm sorry. It's just stupid. It's like she says current events. It's exactly what she said, was current events. And somebody takes that out of context, and they're like, oh my god, she's making fun of the plane crash. Dude, she's not. She never said anything about the plane crash.
Nope.
She never said anything about anything. She said current events. You can take that any way you want. So yes, you can take it that she's making fun of the plane crash, but I very much doubt she's going to do that. Because it's going to probably come out that either Ukraine, the separatists, or Russia shot the thing down. And then she's really going to have egg on her face.
Yeah.
So it's like, it just, y'all, no. It's, one, it's wrestling. Two, she didn't say what you think she said. Go back and watch the promo. Go back and listen to what she said. Had nothing to do beyond current events. She walked the line. She didn't cross it.
Well, she did cross the line when she slapped Sepp Coulter. He's a war hero, goddammit.
Yeah, well, you know, she seems to have fun slapping Sepp Coulter and pulling Jack Swagger's hair.
And that's how things got started. Lana slapped Sepp. This was a better match than I thought it was going to be. These two actually had a pretty good match.
Yeah, this was actually better than I thought it would be. I actually would like to see more between these two.
They had a good match on main event as well. Basically, the story of the match was Swagger was going after the angle of Rusev. And, Swagger had hammered Rusev hard in the corner. Rusev came out, attacked Swagger with a big kick and a falling slam. Rusev was dominant for a while. Swagger makes a comeback with a big clothesline. After being fired up by Zeb on the outside, he got all fired up. He was good, ready to go. Swagger then goes for the angle lock. Rusev countered out. Rusev stomped the foot of Swagger, goes for a kick, but got caught into a Patriot lock and had it locked in for a while. Rusev, with all his might, finally got to the ropes. But he was hobbling around. He hobbled onto the outside, got the ankle lock put on it, got out of it, and Swagger got sent into the post and got knocked out. Rusev hobbled in, beating the 10 count, and wins the match. Good match, good stuff. They had a good one on main event as well. Rusev wins, and he was selling the ankle on Monday and on Tuesday. Good stuff. It's a shame we're in the era we're in. Because about 15 years ago, we would see Lana versus Zeb.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing!
Because the promo battles between the two would have been great, and a match would have been fun.
Although I will say Lana's reaction to Swagger going into the pole was hilarious.
It was.
But yeah, this was good. You have Rusev win by a 10 count. So it doesn't make it, you know, so it's kind of, again, it's equal, I would say, to like a DQ finish, where Swagger still looks strong because he put up a really good effort, and Rusev doesn't look too weak because he still won.
And then he attacked Swagger after the match and locked in the accolade, and Lana was happy.
Yes. Lana was very happy.
Do you want to repeat the comment you made?
No.
Okay. Because it was an awesome comment. Anyway. So good stuff right there. We both had Rusev winning this one, by the way. We then had a Stardust promo. Goldust and Stardust. It was kind of strange. Then we had Seth Rollins come out for his scheduled match. Well, sort of scheduled match. Said his opponent was ejected from the building, so he's here to accept his victory via forfeit. This is the one part of the scenario Lindsay got wrong. She had a no contest, I had Ambrose winning, but Seth Rollins wins by forfeit. So Rollins is the announced winner. Rollins starts to leave. Oh, hey, look who shows up, Dean Ambrose. They brawl around.
No, wait. Seriously, when was the last time they had somebody win by forfeit?
It's been a while.
It's been a long while. I didn't even think about that. And then when he came out, I was like, you know, that makes sense.
It does make sense. So Dean shows up. They brawl around the ringside. And in through the crowd, Ambrose throws Rollins up onto the announce table. Security pulls Ambrose off. Ambrose dives off the tables to get the Rollins. Triple H finally comes out and pulls Ambrose off of Rollins. Security drags him away. Rollins then starts to attack Ambrose, and then the security carries Dean out. Rollins attacked again, and they finally got Dean out of there, and Triple H holds up Rollins' arm after the big old brawl.
You know shit got real because IRS was out there?
Yeah.
And I love how IRS pulled, I think, Dean off of Seth by Dean's hair.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there watching it, and I'm like, you know that's how he pulled Bo and Bray apart.
That's exactly.
When they were kids.
I said to her, like, don't be pulling on his hair. He doesn't have much hair. And, like, you know that's how he probably separated the boys. Probably.
That's probably how he pulls his kids apart, even now, I would bet. He just grabs whichever one's on top by the hair and just yanks him off.
That's why you can see small patches at the top of their hair that's missing.
That's why they have like a small bald spot on their hairline, is because it's like daddy pulling them apart. That's exactly what it is.
So, yeah. Many people were upset that Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose didn't happen on the show. I was kind of surprised they were thinking about booking it on the show. So I'm not surprised the match really didn't happen. Because they're saving that one for SummerSlam.
That was kind of one of those scenarios where it's like, you can't have either one win, but you can't have either one lose. And the losing was the worst, obviously, than the winning, because it's like, if you have Seth win, the feud is over. If you have Dean win, it makes Seth look weak, and you can't make Seth look weak, because he's Mr. Money in the Bank. And yes, they've made the other Mr. Money in the Banks look weak, but they're intentionally trying to not do that with Seth, and you can tell. So it's something of, what do we do? They had to book the match because that was the logical place that they were headed. And I think they made the right call of not having the match happen and you have Ambrose attack Seth. Where it's literally, Ambrose is just a rabid dog. He's just trying to get to Seth Rollins any way he can. He doesn't care if it's in a match or not. He really doesn't.
He just wants to beat up Seth Rollins.
He just wants to beat up Seth Rollins. So it's something of, Ambrose will do whatever he has to get to Seth Rollins, which we'll get to later in the show, in terms of what else he did to get to Seth Rollins, because he wasn't done here. But this was, I think, a really clever way of doing it, where it's like, you promise the match, and yes, it's unfortunate Tampa got screwed out of the match, because it's going to be good, and I know a lot of people are really pissed about it, and I would be too. Because it's something of, you paid to go to a pay-per-view, or you paid to watch pay-per-view, you're expecting Dean versus Seth. I know a lot of people were watching for that sole reason, and we didn't get it.
And that was supposed to be one of the better matches on the show. When you have a show that didn't deliver fully with great matches, you can see why people were upset.
Yeah, and it's something of, this is going to SummerSlam at the very least. They're going to take it as far as they can go. And it's just right now they're not ready to, you know, to put that match on yet. Because you only have so many times that you can do it as a show stealer before people are going to get tired of it.
Correct.
And this is not going to be a match. This is going to be a fight between these two. And that's what people need to remember, is this is going to be a fight.
And yes, it will. One of the matches I said from the beginning that shouldn't be on this show is our next contest. Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho. And right out of the gate, lights, and holy crap, some more lights.
Yeah!
So Bray Wyatt makes his big old entrance to the Tampa crowd. With the boys in tow, as Chris Jericho comes out, and he did something you should never, ever do. Screwed with the chair.
Oh my god, Chris, you don't hit the chair.
It's Abigail's chair. You don't touch it.
And Bray did not look happy. Bray looked pissed.
Neither did Luke. Luke was not happy either. Luke wanted to kill.
Luke is never happy when Bray has to wrestle.
This is very true.
Luke generally has an aneurysm whenever Bray has to wrestle, because Luke just wants to go in there and do it for Bray. He just wants to go in there and kill for Bray. That's what he wants to do. But he can't, because it's Bray's match. Same thing holds true for Eric. Eric gets so confused when Bray's in the ring, because he doesn't know what to do. So he just stands there and he makes grabby hands at whoever Bray's opponent is, because he wants to kill him. Like, the kids are so adorably lost whenever Bray's in the ring, because they don't like it when Bray wrestles without them. They don't like it at all.
Yeah. So we have.
Can we just talk about Bray head bonking Luke? Because that was adorable.
I was just about to get there. So, getting fired up, he headbutts Luke in the chest.
It was so cute!
So we open up with a contest. Both men battle for position. Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt battle for position. And Jericho started playing with Bray's beard while Bray laughed. I think it was laughter. It may have been ticklish in his beard. Who knows? But he was laughing. Because Jericho was playing with his beard. So Jericho slept around Bray a little bit. No effect. Jericho comes out. Chops it right to the chest. Bray came out of the corner. Big clothesline. And Bray said, this is his house. Rowan with a distraction. Harper gets up and attacked. And which allowed Bray Wyatt to attack Chris Jericho from behind. Bray gets up on the apron. Jericho dropkicks him to the floor. Jericho goes onto the outside with a big dive onto the entire family. And at this point, the kids were told to go home. Because they were no longer allowed to play in this match.
They were not happy either. Neither was Bray.
And this fired up Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt knocked Jericho hard out of the ring. He hammered Jericho right hard into the wall on the outside. Jericho went for a shoulder block repeatedly, but Jericho got tossed to the apron. Jericho goes to the top rope, gets a double axe handle. Bray hit him with a nice... I would say nice, but it really wasn't a nice gut buster, unless they had a little bit of awkwardness. Bray goes for the running senton. Jericho got his knees up. Insecurity right to the back of the head. Jericho at one point gets caught on the top rope. Bray hit some sort of jawbreaker thing. That's what I'm calling it, a hail. From the top rope onto Jericho. Then Jericho eventually hits the bulldog. Lion salt, but Bray got his knees up, so that's turnabout's fair play. Getting the knees up. And then the spider, along came the spider spray, popped up in the spider walk, and Lindsay's first reaction, you're going the wrong way.
He was going the wrong way.
Bray slammed him into the mat for a long two count, big splash into the corner connects, Bray yells at Jericho, Bray tries to go charge again, but Jericho charged right at Bray this time around. Jericho rolled up Bray, knocked him into the bottom turnbuckle, looked like it hurt a lot. Like, he really banged his head a little bit. Jericho goes for a dive on the Bray, but Bray stopped him. Hit a DDT on the side of the ring again. Looked like it hurt. Nice two count. We got finally got a let's go Y2J chant. Bray goes for the Sister Abigail, but Jericho counters. Goes for the walls of Jericho. Bray collides and takes out Jericho for a two count. The big collision he does. And then, finally... out of nowhere, Jericho hits the codebreaker for a three count.
Okay.
Your winner, Chris Jericho. Yes. Go ahead. Address it.
You had Bray Wyatt and John Cena literally beat the holy high hell out of each other for what? 20 minutes at Payback?
Right.
Where the only way John Cena could honestly defeat Bray Wyatt was to lock him in a box. Like, John Cena could not, everything John Cena did, could not put Bray Wyatt down. Could not put him down for a 10 count. The only way John Cena was able to defeat Bray Wyatt was by locking him in a box. You're gonna sit there and tell me that after all of that, Bray Wyatt can be easily defeated with a code breaker.
Yeah.
Bull shit. Bullshit. I mean, I know Boo Boo was tired because he had a big in Japan. I know that. You know, he had a busy week. He was tired. He did press. He had to go to Japan. You know, he had to do Raw and SmackDown. He hurt his eye. I get all that.
Which is still nasty to this day.
Yeah, Flair did a number on his face. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't have a scar from this. But, you know, to have Bray Wyatt lose via Codebreaker, I have an issue with that. Mm-hmm. I would have rather seen the shenanigans with the boys where the kids cause a DQ. Either in Bray's favor or in Jericho's favor, doesn't matter whose. Whether they screw up or whether they don't, doesn't matter. But there could have been 100 better ways to finish this match than having Chris Jericho pinning Bray Wyatt cleanly in the middle of the ring. And I understand that if Bray wins at SummerSlam and he wins at Night of Champions, which is probably where this is headed, nobody will remember Battleground. But you have to remember, Chris Jericho is now the second person to pin Bray Wyatt. John Cena was the first.
Yeah, I would have happened. It should have been like a roll-up or something, not like a straight pin.
Yeah, it should have been some sort of screwy finish where it doesn't make Bray look weak. Because this made Bray look really weak. And that's not what you want. Now, granted, he made up for it by attacking Chris Jericho on Monday night and then cutting the promo that he cut. Where basically, he says wins and losses don't matter. It's who wins the war. Which is, yeah, that's fine. That works. But it's getting harder and harder to take Bray, as much as I love him, as a credible threat to anybody if he especially can't pull out a victory.
Right.
And this match, I was really looking forward to it because I've seen their stuff in FCW. It was good. And it's just, there's something wasn't clicking right. And it was, I think this was more of a straight up wrestling match. And that's just not honestly Bray Wyatt's style. He's more of a brawler. He likes to fight. And Jericho can do that style. I know he can because I've seen him do it with He Who Shall Not Be Named. That left in January. Not the other He Who Shall Not Be Named. But Mr. AJ Lee, how about that?
Good old Phil.
Good old Phil. Yeah, I've seen other matches that Jericho's done where he's done a brawling style and it works really well, and I think they're building to that. I think this is going to get really personal, but in terms of a first match, this was really awkward. They tried their best. You could tell Bray was tired.
Right. By the way, after I said good old Phil, the next thought in my mind was, did he see a shadow? Anyway.
But, yeah, so it's... And this was not the only match that was really kind of awkward, and you could tell they were just kind of holding back, and in a lot of ways it felt like they were just going through the motions of it. Because it was just like, you could tell Bray was tired. Jericho was just like, well, this is, you know, again, this is going to SummerSlam, so there's no sense in putting on a showstopper. And really what everybody was considering a throwaway pay-per-view, but that doesn't mean you still can't do it.
Right.
So, yeah, I was actually very disappointed with this match.
She was. We were both disappointed as we were watching. It's like, this is what we got? It's like, again, there was something missing in this match.
And it's just, it's like, I think it was the finish. Honestly, the finish killed it for me, where it's like, really? Really? You're going to have Chris Jericho beat Bray Wyatt with a Codebreaker?
Yeah.
I don't fucking think so.
Because when was the last time he won by a Codebreaker?
A while ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, anyway, so Chris Jericho wins. Oh, we gotta talk about Matt about something in a second. But first, we're in the parking lot. Seth Rollins has security with him, and they're leaving, and he's like, I don't need security. Just go away. I'm good. It's an empty parking lot. Nothing's gonna happen to me. Well, as he walks to his car, you see an ambulance. Oh, he's gonna walk out. He's gonna come out of the ambulance. No. Where did Dean Ambrose find a way to sneak attack? The trunk of a car.
You knew he was coming from the trunk of the car because you could see it popped.
I know.
But this was actually really, really clever and really well done, and I liked how they did this. I like how you had Dean continually going after Seth. Where it's like, okay, fine, they're not going to let me back in the building. Well, then I'm going to hide in his car and I'm going to wait for him. And then I'm going to try and kick his ass in the parking lot with a tire iron, because that's what I do. And it's just, it was like, it fit. This feud just 100% perfect to see Dean come out of the trunk of that car, tire iron in hand. Now, and Seth standing there regretting, like, every life choice he's ever made.
Now, the question I have is, how did he get in the trunk?
I don't want to know. He did it all wily-like.
Because it's like, did he steal his key? Couldn't have stolen his key. Did he break into the trunk? Did he break the locks? Do you know how to break locks?
He probably does.
Now, did Seth Rollins get insurance on his rental car? Because if Dean broke the lock, well, then Seth Rollins has to pay for it if he didn't get the insurance.
I'm sure he did.
You think he's covered by insurance?
I'm pretty sure he's covered.
Matt goes, he switched to Geico. Maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
So, they brawled for a while, and then Rollins jumped in the car and sped away.
This is great.
It was. So, up next, the Intercontinental Championship Battle Royal. With a bunch of people, and everyone got an entrance. Including one special person, which we'll get to. Everyone ganged up on Kali early on. He chopped everyone. Then a bunch of people dumped Kali out. Sandow was dressed in beach clothes. He was, you know, all happy. He was, and watching the replay, I noticed that he had sunblock on his nose. Which was awesome. I didn't notice it the first time around, but I noticed in the replay. And then, the Bow Leaver himself, Bo Dallas, eliminated Sin Cara.
And he did a victory lap.
He did. So Matt, are you a Bow Leaver like we are? Cause we Bow Leave, because he's the cheesiest thing on WWE TV, and it's fantastic. Oh, you're starting to Bow Leave.
Oh, good.
Good.
Good, good, good.
Good.
Yes. Although, I do have to say about the Battle Royal, I laughed hysterically when Slater eliminated Cesaro, because if you guys missed it, Barrett and Cesaro were talking smack back and forth, and Barrett said, I'm going to enjoy watching Heath Slater eliminate you, bring back the core, and sure enough, Slater got Cesaro. It's like, oh, yes, sweet justice. It's awesome. It's like, yes. Pre-planning. It's all in the planning.
It is. Sheamus and Ryback had a showdown. Sheamus eliminated Ryback with a bro kick. Bo eliminated Titus, and he celebrated like a goofball. This time he jumped high into the air.
I'm waiting for him to start skipping.
Bo Dallas skipping. Because right now he just jiggle around the ring on his victory lap.
He's trying so hard to fight those family genetics, you can just tell.
He is. Believe in yourself. Always gotta believe. Like some people do around here. Some people just give up and stop believing. We're not gonna mention any name, King Kins. So So Cesaro with a belly-to-belly to eliminate Big E. Kofi then got tossed out by Cesaro, but Big E caught him on the shoulders, which was a nice, unique way to do that. Kofi tried to pull Cesaro out, but he got suplexed back in. Then Cesaro finally suplexed Kingston out, and in the biggest shock in the world, Heath Slater eliminated Cesaro.
It was awesome. And then Slater got eliminated right afterwards, but it's like, yes, things happened. It's like they planned it on Twitter, and then it happened, and Wade Barrett was so happy.
Because he forecasted it on Twitter earlier the day, early in the day.
He had, yeah.
So, we're down to, Slater eliminates Cesaro, Ziggler eliminates Bo. Cesaro was ended up getting eliminated. We're down to Ziggler and Sheamus battling in the ring. They kept teasing, going in and out, throwing each other out. But eventually, Ziggler ducked a kick and almost eliminated Sheamus, but Ziggler finally figured a way to get Sheamus out of the ring. So Ziggler is the brand new Intercontinental Champion! Oh, wait.
Somebody didn't get eliminated.
No, they didn't. The Miz sneaks back in and eliminates Dolph Ziggler, so your brand new Intercontinental Champion, The Miz.
And I love how everybody's like whining and bitching and moaning about this. It's like, that's actually a really clever way. I have to give my props to how they booked that and for Miz for sneaking in and getting it. And everybody's like, oh my god, Ziggler got screwed again.
I was so pissed. I had Ziggler winning. Damn it.
You were so close.
I was so close. I was.
It's like, Miz just came back. He has a movie coming out. You really think they're going to put the title on Ziggler?
Well, that was the original plan at one point.
I think it was, but yeah. And I know, Matt, I picked Cesaro.
She did.
But I honestly laughed, because I knew he wasn't going to win, but it's like, eh, he's probably the favorite, so going with Cesaro.
Hey, Matt, don't be dogging the Marine for target practice. Don't be dogging it.
Yeah, because we're going to try and interview Miz, so don't dog it.
Anyway, so, to catch everyone up, we got AJ Wright, and we lost with Bray Wyatt, and we both lost with the Battle Royal. So, we now head to our main event of the evening. WWE World Heavyweight Championships on the line. John Cena defends against Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, and Kane. Kane and Reigns, Orton and Cena, that's how we started things out. Orton tried to save Kane. Reigns went on the attack on Orton. Kane and Orton did double teaming on Reigns. Leaving that as I said it. Kane and Reigns battled on the floor. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks chance. Kane always, at some point, continues to go back and help Randy Orton. Basically, he's babysitting for Randy Orton. Cena hit shoulder block, spin out powerbomb. You can't see me into the five-knuckle shuffle. Goes for the AA, but Orton gets out and falls to the outside. Before Roman and John Cena can go at it for the first time as they had their first stare down, Kane interrupted. And so did Randy Orton. And then we had a Daniel Bryan and Yes Chan from the crowd. So some people still remember Daniel Bryan. So, but
Never forget.
Daniel Bryan, he does still exist. Kane attacked Orton. Roman then tackled Kane and Orton. We had another Cena-Roman showdown, but Kane sat up. Cena and Reigns attack Kane. Orton DDTs Cena and Roman together for a two count as Kane broke it up. Orton locked in a half crab on Reigns. Reigns powered out. And then Roman put it on Orton. Cena locked in the crossface, not the STF, as some announcers said, Michael Cole, it's a crossface, not an STF.
He doesn't know the difference.
He should know the difference. It's two different wrestling holds. Come on now. Saddens me he doesn't know the difference between the STF and a crossface.
Well, it's been so long since anybody's been allowed to use a crossface.
They used a crossface all the time.
Hunter, more recently, yeah.
Hunter and Sean used it for a while. After the thing happened.
That's Hunter and Sean, though.
He should still know the name of the goddamn move. There's a difference.
Anyway.
So where were we? Oh yeah, Kane broke up the cross face AA to Kane. Kane rolled out of the ring after the AA. Orton goes for the backbreaker STF now on Orton. Orton escaped. Cena locks it back in. Roman pulls Orton out as he was trying to reach the rope. And now we get the showdown. Cena and Roman slug it out. STF to Roman. Roman countered. And then eventually the Samoan drop on to Cena. Reigns goes for sets up for Superman punch. He missed Cena with the spin out powerbomb. We also had another You Can't See Me 5 knuckle shuffle attempt. But we get a tease Superman punch instead. We got the Superman punch instead. Roman sets up for the spear. Spear Cena. 1, 2. Kane breaks it up. That's going to be the theme, people breaking it up. Kane and Roman were fighting. Roman hit a big clothesline in the corner. Superman punched to Kane. Running dropkick to everybody. 1, 2, 3. On the outside in different spots. Roman drives Orton through the barricade by the ring announcer. So, Roman's firing. He's firing on all cylinders. Charges in, catches Kane. Big choke. Reigns goes, charges in, Kane catches him, gets him in the chokeslam position, breaks the choke, spear to Kane, Cena makes a save, Roman is dumped down, AA to Kane, Roman makes the save, Roman covers, Cena breaks it up, AA to Reigns, Kane breaks it up, Kane goes for a chokeslam to Cena, Kane chokeslams Reigns kicks out, Kane goes for a tombstone, spear to Kane, Orton breaks it up, RKO to Reigns, AA to Orton onto Kane for the finish. John Cena is still the WWE champion. If you couldn't figure that one out.
Wait. John Cena's stunned. Hold on, let me get my shock face. Dude, it's Cena. It's the pay-per-view before SummerSlam. We all know where they're going. He showed up Monday night. I'm severely surprised he didn't show up Sunday night. You know, we all knew where this was headed. Brock's coming back for SummerSlam. They're not going to feed either Roman, Orton, or Kane to Brock. There's really no money there. At least not yet. Roman and Brock might have some future once they build up Roman, but not right now. That'll kill his career.
That would kill
Brock.
He should not face Brock Lesnar anytime in the next 18 months.
But, you know, Cena Brock, of course, we all knew that was going to happen. So, I mean, it's the logical conclusion. It was a good match.
But overall, the main event delivered. The opener delivered. There was Rusev and Swagger delivered. Everything else was just sort of...
I think...
There.
Everything else is the thing is every match tried to deliver, but I think a lot of people were holding back, mainly because it's like now we're on the push for SummerSlam, and you know if you basically have a really really great match going out of the gate, then you have to top it, and especially for guys like Dean and Seth, they could probably easily top it, but you know you really want to have that big epic confrontation and match at a big pay-per-view, and SummerSlam's going to have a lot more eyeballs on it than Battleground. My only issue is Battleground was booked really well. They had a lot of really good matches on this card, and they were just kind of eh. Or they didn't happen. And it's just like, well, you know, this could have been a really good show had they not sacrificed it for the sake of SummerSlam, which is what happened. You know that's what happened.
Because that's where the money is.
That's where the money is. So it's Battleground, had it not been in the spot that it would have been in, I think would have been a way better pay-per-view than what it was.
Battleground was the start of the summer SummerSlam is where everything is heating up, and it's going to look like we're going to get some intense matches on paper at the very least. There's at least the main event, what's going to probably be Bray and Jericho, that's going to be intense. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, that's going to be a brawl. Word for some physicality come SummerSlam. SummerSlam ain't going to be a safe show. It's gonna be guns a-blazing, I assume.
Yeah, oh yeah, I would hope so. If it's not, I will be extremely disappointed.
Same here.
But on that note, we have a question of the night.
And the question of the night was simple. Well, what did you like about Battleground? And the majority said, why, it's Uso.
Yeah, I'm with them on that. That was one of the best matches of the night.
It was. It was the match of the night.
Which, good for them for having it.
So there you go.
There you go. Well, on that note, I think we're done.
I do say we are done. Thanks for people tuning in this evening. If this is your first time listening, thank you for tuning in. If it's not, and you're just here for the first time in months...
Matt...
Thank you for listening as well. We're back every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, the brand new start time of The Rack. You can follow this show on Twitter at WTR_The_Rack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Saturday night, midnight-ish. Hey, this song's for Kinkins. SCB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. I'm thinking we're going to be missing a host on the show.
I'm so shocked.
But it's not the host you're thinking of. But tune in, it's The Weird, The Wacky. It is The Unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/CigarettePuntsAndMendez. Go back and listen to last week's episode, which was hashtag A Man and His Super Glue. Sunday night, it is WTR Sunday Night with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, recapping week in pro wrestling at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night's Raw post show right after Monday Night Raw. Once it ends, we are about on the air right away talking everything that happens on the program. We'll be back next Thursday night, again, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's you.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Lins Ward, LINSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lins Ward, same as the Twitter. There's a link on my website, and, well, you can just go to the link I just gave you. Both work just fine. You can, of course, listen to The Rack every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. And also, please visit our fine sponsors. They're amazing. TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. PWMania.com. And, yes, even our friend, Mr. Goldberg, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays over here, youtube.com/MVG1211. Go check him out. He's been put out by Paul Heyman, by Wade Barrett. He works with WWE. It's amazing. Go watch it.
Yeah,
he has an elite Luke and Eric, and I'm extremely jealous.
Yeah, his videos get featured on WWE's YouTube channel once a month. And you can see our logo right in the background every time. It's kind of awesome. So check out Matt, the show killer, Goldberg.
Yes, go check it out. But for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Bye.